But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the time Karen has spent with this passage this week. And we pray that what you've put on her heart by your Holy Spirit, she would be able to deliver to us this morning, that we would hear not from her, but from you. Lord, we long to hear your words of truth and life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And thank you, Alan, for reading that really... It's quite difficult reading, and reading it very well. Thank you very much. So, we've been working our way through the Apostles' Creed. And we've come to the end of it now. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus, who was crucified, died and buried, and then he rose again to heaven. And he'll come again as a judge. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the church throughout the world, the meeting together with each other, and the fact that we... when we confess our sins, they are forgiven. So we've looked at all that. And so far, so good. All that has happened and is happening. And now we come to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The thing is, how can we know what we can't possibly know? And actually, it does sound highly unlikely. So hold that thought in your head while we consider. You might have seen some programs on the telly lately about the planets and the galaxy. The planet Uranus was discovered in 1781. But the scientists knew that something else was going on, the way it behaved. There must be another planet somewhere. And by very complicated maths, in 1845, an Englishman, John Adams, and a Frenchman, Le Verrier, they both predicted a proof of an unknown planet. And in 1846, Dr. Gall actually found the planet Neptune, just where they had mathematically predicted that it would be. No one had seen it. No one knew it was there. But they proved that it was there before they actually saw the planet Neptune. Or you may remember at school that periodic table of chemical elements. You know that long thing, and then there was a complicated way of folding it up? The scientist Mendeleev put all the elements in order so that all the gases came together and all the metals came together and all the other bits came together. And he realized actually the spaces. And he predicted that there were elements that they didn't know about. And he predicted what they would be like, whether they'd be soft or hard or gas or whatever. And when they did find them, guess what? He was right. He had found the missing elements. Well, he predicted what they'd be like before they actually found them. Okay, so that's all a bit scientific. Maybe you played the game Cluedo. Someone did the murder. But who? So when you've worked out that it wasn't Colonel Mustard in the library with the rope, it wasn't Reverend Green in the conservatory with the dagger, it was Professor Plum in the kitchen with the candlestick. Found by a process of deduction. So it is perfectly possible to know things that we can't actually know. We know that if we put a body in the ground, it stays there. King Richard III, his body was still there. He died in 1485. They excavated him in 2012. His bones were there. But what about the essential him? The king who thought and schemed and loved, and did he really offer his kingdom for a horse? We all have a body. We're all sitting here. We're all looking very attentive, thank you very much. But who knows what we're thinking? Who knows the very essence of who we are? So, what better detective could we have to lead our investigation than St. Paul, a Pharisee who knew the Old Testament completely? And then he had that lightning flash of revelation from Jesus, turned his life around completely, sent him to the non-Jewish people to explain what Jesus is all about. And in our reading today, he was talking about the resurrection to the non-Jewish Greek people of Corinth. And they, like many people today, seemed to be saying, that's it. When you're dead, you're dead. How often have you heard that? When you're dead, so you might as well enjoy your life now. Earlier in our reading, Paul had said, if that's what you think, then your faith is futile. In fact, he even said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So the Corinthians, they weren't just sitting back being mesmerized by Paul. They were discussing, questioning, maybe arguing. And good for them, because Paul had the knowledge. He could explain. And I don't think he suffered fools gladly. How foolish, he says, when you plant a seed, you plant the seed, and then it grows into whatever it grows into. Someone gave me some herb seeds as a present. I planted them in little pots on the windowsill, and I forgot to label them. What a pharmacist. But it's quite obvious the chives stand up straight. The parsley is frilly and it falls over, and the basil leans over towards the light. They are all very different. None of them are anything like the seed that went into the compost. And the seeds, I'm guessing, are no more. The seeds have gone, but the plants have grown. So it's quite obvious that a sort of resurrection into a different body, it's not only possible, but you see it all the time. We've got fancy explanations as to why it happens, but it happens. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. A seed becomes a plant. A baby becomes an adult. An adult becomes, Paul says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, dishonourable, weak, natural, sinful, essentially what we all are here. That's what we are when we die. But, there's a big but, the body that is raised because of Jesus is imperishable, raised in glory and power, and has become a spiritual body. Then he talks about two Adams. The first Adam being code for all sinful people, you know, the natural one, the dust of the earth, the one we identify with now. And the second Adam is the Lord from heaven, the spiritual one, who came from heaven to give light to the world, the one we will identify with. But before we can identify and be like the spiritual Adam, we have to be like the natural one. Because you don't get a butterfly without getting a caterpillar. You don't get crops without planting the seeds. And you might not like to remember it, but as adults, we all started off as babies. We can't be spiritual bodies without first being natural ones. Paul says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we will, at the right time, we will be imperishable and immortal. And because Paul not only knows the Old Testament, he knows it so well that he can sort of juggle with it. He quotes the prophet Isaiah, the Lord will swallow up death forever, will wipe away the tears from all faces and remove the disgrace of his people. And then from Hosea, the Lord said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? So, it's not a new idea. Death is defeated. It's been rattling around in the Old Testament for years. Absolutely ages. But what we have that Paul didn't have was the advantage of reading John's Gospel, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he was preparing them for the fact that he was going to leave them. And he said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me. So Jesus is talking about being with the Father too. I believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting. We can't possibly know it until we get there. But from reading around it, from all those different bits that we can put together, doesn't it seem impossible to not believe it? And as Paul says, thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that death is not the end, that you have given us glimpses and understanding through all those people who wrote all the books of the Bible. We can have confidence in you because of them. Thank you. Amen.